And thanks to those who came and put together the chairs yesterday. It took about 3 hours, but so far so good. Nobody has fallen through. So, and we got a few people whose feet aren't touching the ground. Just give it a month of Sundays, and they'll get there. You'll break in. It'll all be good. I switched up. I love the passage about the Magi, but this is two things. One, Epiphany comes 12 days after Christmas, and you know, probably that's the song, 12 Days of Christmas, is that Christmas really started on the day Jesus was born, and the season went for 12 days later, and that's why some gal got those 12 drummers drumming and a different gift every day. But that's until Epiphany. But Epiphany doesn't fall on Sunday, and so it turns out this year the closest Sunday is also the baptism of Jesus. And I just kept getting stirred by the baptism passage, and so I ended up switching them around for us. So this is Mark's version, and Mark is the simple one. You know, Mark doesn't have a birth story. Jesus just kind of appears. But for Mark, that is in every way as significant as all the angels and all the Magi. So pay attention to a word from God for you from Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to start with verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a certain timing in a way that things happen in this passage that's very important. First, Mark just wants you to know, and Mark has a little less stress on him than seems to be in the other Gospels. He isn't trying to give you the complete story. He's just letting you know. And so you sort of begin with this is just the beginning. The word "just" is not there, but I think it is in context that Mark's just saying, look, this is just the beginning of all that Jesus is going to be doing. And when he ends the gospel, the earliest endings of the gospel just has the women going out to the tomb and then an angel saying, hey, look, he is out there. And so this gospel comes as a warning about how God works in the world, less of an explanation. Mark's just saying, be ready. And so some of the language about it that Mark uses is a little more intense. And Mark also doesn't carry the burden to try and make the disciples look good. They look a little bit goofier in this gospel than they do in the others. Because he's just telling you about who Jesus is. And so the image that I want to give you is, and I wasn't there for this, but I heard that it happened, that apparently a huge asteroid bajillion years ago, about 6 miles wide, traveling at 70,000 miles an hour, which is about 1,100 miles a minute, 200 miles a second, struck just off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. And it hit so hard, it created a 90-mile-wide crater. And as a result, for months, this dense cloud blocked the sun's rays and darkened and chilling the earth to deadly levels for most plants and in turn animals. and the dust finally settled and there were gases, and this whole impact took out not just the dinosaurs, but up to 70% of plants and animals living at that time, and that's according to scientists. Again, I wasn't there, but I just wanted to give you a sense of what that kind of a dramatic impact is said to have had on the earth. And that's kind of what an image sort of that Mark has. It, when Jesus is baptized, the heavens don't just open like they do in Matthew and in Luke. They are ripped apart. The Greek word here that's different is schizo or schism. It's not the same word as just open. You open a door, but when you rip something, you can't unrip it. And, you know, you can open, you can close, but once ripped, it's ripped. And that's the image that you have here, is that the sky has been ripped open and that the Spirit descends on Jesus and tells him, "You're my child, my beloved." So Mark wants you to know there's no going back. Once God is moving in the world this way, in a very similar way to when the heavens opened and it flooded, this is a different heavens opening, but you don't go backwards from this. And this isn't the heavens were open and I am angry. This is the heavens are open and you are my beloved. Think about times in your life. Let's not dwell on the asteroid, but think about times in your life when your world has ripped open, when there wasn't a going back. I remember a time when Carrie had been sick. We had been, it was my first summer in Clemson as an associate pastor. I think we'd been at Montreat. She was not feeling well. We took her to the doctor. She went to the back. There was some sort of infection. And then the lady comes out and says, "Mr. Jones, would you mind coming into the back?" And I said, "Yes, I will come, because, you know, husband, better, worse, etc." So I went to the back and went around, and there was Carrie, and she had red eyes and she was crying, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, what did you do to my wife?" And I was waiting for the person next to her had this terrible disease, or we spilled acid. I mean, it was really, I was trying to think, what terrible things can you be telling me? And Carrie looked up with tears in her eyes and said, "I'm preffing the net." And I thought, that sounds horrible. And she said it again, and I still thought it sounded horrible. And as usual, the third time, she slows it down for me a little bit, and she said, "I'm pregnant." And the skies went, they ripped open. Now, there have been other times in my life in which they've ripped open in ways that weren't as positive. When I was younger, I did not really get the whole death thing. The doctor had said about my dad, I was 18, said, "He is probably not going to go home. It's probably going to be within the next few days." And to my mind, I was, "Oh no, you don't know what you're talking about." And it wasn't until I got home after spending the night with him in the hospital, and actually the funeral home called the house. That's how I found out. RIP. Traumatic events. Not all negative. Some of them were wonderful. But these are events that have life-changing impact. Events which you can't just go, "Let's stitch this bad boy back up." You have to go forward from here in this new reality. John the Baptist gives this message of Jesus and God being much more of the flood sort of ripping. God is mad at you. Come out here and be baptized, and just maybe you'll get in. But Jesus is different. This is a different ripping of the sky. This is a different reality. This is a time when he is coming, but it's a different way, which really kind of boggles John the Baptizer's mind, because here he is out telling them that they are dirty and in need of repentance. And Jesus says it comes in to be baptized by John. And he's going, it doesn't make sense. And the reason being, this is different. This is a different type of baptism. This is a different type of mentality. And you have to get over, and there are things that we can change about ourselves, because to understand that being beloved is different than being lovable. There's once a story about a mouse that was afraid of cats. And so he went to see this magician, and he got the magician, he says, look, I'm afraid of cats, how about making me a cat? And the magician said, poof, because that's what magicians do, and he's a cat. Well, then all the problem is now he's afraid of dogs. And so he says, well, make me a dog. Boof, he's a dog. And so that worked out for a while. But then it turns out he was afraid of tigers. So boof, he made him a tiger. Next thing you know, he's afraid of elephants. Boof, he makes him an elephant. And then next thing you know, he's afraid of mice. And so he makes him a mouse. And he says, it doesn't matter what your form is, your heart is always a mouse. The heart here is a different message of God's ripping the sky open. It's not ripping in anger, it's ripping in love. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he says, hey, you're my beloved. And with you, I am very pleased. I am very happy. It's not that Jesus got it right and God is happy. God is happy. Now go get it right. So it's a whole different mindset from, hey, maybe if you get it right, God will be happy with you. It's you are loved. Now go do good things. And that is a far different ripping. Because God has declared, my love is such that you can't back up from it. And the good news is, and the one thing that makes it kind of different, if it can be Jesus, it can be anybody. He is of that humble beginning. We've gone through a period in our sort of mythologies that you have these one special individuals. And Nate and I went to see the latest Star Wars, and it's kind of a shift because all of a sudden you're getting the sense that, hey, anybody can be a hero. Anybody can be in touch with the Force. Anybody can be tempted. And it's not just that division of the good guys and the bad guys. It is that potential of every single person. And this new Jedi isn't a descendant of royalty. She's born of nobody. But that's beautiful, because if you're born of nobody, then you can be anybody. And the beautiful thing about Jesus and the claim belief in Jesus is that it gives us the potential of it becoming anybody. It's not just to say, well, Jesus is better than Buddha, better than Muhammad, better than anybody. The beautiful thing is that this is a different action of God. It's an action that begins with God's love, not with our rightness. And because God has ripped open the heavens, and then on the cross he rips the veil in the temple where only the Holy of Holies could go. Mark's point is, God's in the world, so anything can happen. But because you are beloved, it gives you the chance to go out and be loving. Don't have to be lovable. You just go out and be loving, because that's the power that you have. It's the power that you're given. You don't have to wait for everybody to like you. You can go out and treat people as if they are beloved, because you know you're beloved. And that's an empowerment that changes the world. Because if you're thinking about it in terms of right, you're always going to have the wrong. But if you're thinking about it in terms of love, well, there's room for everybody at the party. That's the story of what God starts doing here, is he changes it and he opens the potential for all of us. And so it's not just Jesus that is the beloved one of God, it's all of us. It's not just that Jesus lives out for the salvation of the world. Each of us has a particular story that only each person can live. You don't have to be Jesus. Jesus was Jesus. That was taken care of. You have to be you. But like every great character, whether it's Star Wars or Harry Potter or To Kill a Mockingbird, we all live out our stories for the salvation of the world. We all live out our stories for the kingdom of God to be possible. We all live out our stories so that everybody can understand what it's like to have the heavens ripped open and God to say, "Yep, that's my girl," or "Yep, that's my boy. Now go do great things. Go live out your story. Be the character in the middle of God's story for the salvation of the world." And really, that's all you're asked to do. You're not asked to be somebody else. There's an old Jewish story about Rabbi Zusa on his deathbed was saying, what do you think that God will ask you? He said, "Well, I'm pretty sure God's not going to ask me, why wasn't I Moses, or why wasn't I David, or why wasn't I somebody else? God's just going to say, why weren't you Zusa? I made you to be Zusa. God made you to be you." Everybody else, well, they got that covered. And that's the good news of the gospel. We are all beloved children. The skies have ripped open, and instead of a thunderstorm, we've been showered with the love of God so that we can go out and love others. Because what it is not to go out and prove how loved we are by God, but to prove and share to the world how loved each person we encounter is. And that's something, well, anybody can do. The good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, there's so many voices that tell us that we are not lovable. But it's not about that. So many voices tell us we're not worthy. But it's not about being worthy. So many voices tell us things about who we are not, but it's not about who we are or who we are not. It's about who you are. And who you are is that you are loving. And that's how you've decided to come into the world. So that tells us that we are your beloved children. And so that we can go out and be who you have called each of us to be for the hope of the world. That's why we've come. That's why we've gathered. And that's why we pray as we were taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."